It's a new day. Yes, it is.
The Back Row Morning Show.
The Back Row Baptist Podcast.
The Morning Side Hug.
The Back Row with Matt and Mo. He's Matt, I'm Mo.
We're just like, hey, we got microphones.
You're tuned in to the Back Row Rewind. The best of Matt and Mo.
Welcome to the Back Row Rewind. We've got a classic episode of the Back Row Morning Show for you this morning. It's all queued up and ready to go. Today, the main topic on the show is, are you oversaved? But first up, we'll be talking about some hairy pudding and some onion or not onion. So let's just do that right now. That was a Mario theme song.
Was it? Because yeah. I wasn't sure where you were going.
Fun fact, Nintendo of America, the company.
Yeah.
Its boss right now is a dude named Bowser. His last name is Bowser.
For real?
He posted a picture of him holding up a sign in his office that says, thank you for the warm welcome. And in the background, you see a stuffed Mario and Luigi tied up on his bookshelf. It's fantastic.
It makes you wonder.
Right? Did he just get hired because of that?
Well, what's he going to do to Nintendo?
It's fantastic.
You laugh. I'm not kidding.
He's a secret operative from the real Bowser.
I'm scared. For Nintendo's sake.
Why would you do this?
Right?
That would be like electing a pope whose last name is Antichrist.
I don't even know. I don't even know.
I don't know what to think about that. Hey, coming up on today's show, are you oversaved? Oversaved?
Y'all need to clean out your ears for this oversaved? One.
Plus, the latest news, random facts, and a battle. But first, it is February 28th, the last day of February, and that means we got a few holidays to celebrate.
We do. We have, number one, Floral Design Day.
Boring.
It is kind of boring. I'll agree with that. I guess maybe because we're entering into spring.
That's got to be,
bring in your florals. Yeah, okay. It's also National Chili Day.
There we go.
I can get behind chili, man. But you don't even eat chili.
I eat Wiener Schnitzel chili, and I love it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's
one of my
chili.
Favorite things.
Excuse okay, but see, here's the thing. Are we talking about hot dog chili, or are we talking about chili soup?
It's
not the same thing.
It's essentially the same family of things.
So I think hot dog chili is just chili soup that's a couple days old. It's lost all of the broth and all of the liquid
more,
out of
it's
it.
It's more of a gravy consistency
it is.
Than a soup consistency.
It is. Somebody had extra chili left over and thought, well, I don't want to just throw it away. What do I do? Let me put it on something.
Yeah. I do not like chili, like stew. But I make a good one. We had this conversation, didn't we?
So I've heard.
Yeah.
And then lastly, it's National Chocolate Souffle Day.
I have never had a souffle.
Neither have I.
But they look amazing.
It just looks like pudding to me.
No. Actually... What it looks like to me, it looks like a chocolate whipped cream almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the
like
consistency.
Like an airy pudding.
Yeah. That sounds gross. Maybe because it sounds like you said hairy pudding.
Whatever.
Hairy pudding.
I didn't say hassle, so you know.
Nobody knows what you're talking about because that happened off mic.
And? They can just go, what? Okay, whatever. Mo and her
can't
random.
Have inside jokes.
Mo and her randomness you and me. Goodness. When Matt says hassle, it doesn't sound like he's saying hassle. It sounds like he's saying something else. I will let your
she
mind
thought
be wandering.
I cussed a swear. And I did. Didn't.
I did.
Quick, name off your three favorite books.
The Bible. Well, the good. Bible. And the Bible.
Well, you're oversaved, Mo. The Bible's the first one, sure. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe should be your number two, and Fellowship of the Ring better be number three. But if you have room in your fantasy heart for a fourth place, consider Michael P. Mordanga's The Boy and His Curse. This is an epic fantasy for fans of the classical style of fantasy. Ethan Miyoko is a teenage kid just trying to fit in. At the worst possible time, he gets a curse of bad luck. Now he is constantly running away from vicious dogs, house fires, and everything else trying to kill him. His miserable life wouldn't end, or would end, sorry. His miserable life would end if it wasn't for a helpful fairy named Caitlin, who brings him to the world of Faeria. I know what you're thinking. This kind of sounds like one of those cookie-cutter fantasy stories, blah, 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 blah. But The Boy and His Curse is a wild roller coaster that navigates the reader through awkward relationships, bizarre twists, epic sword fights, half hawk, half squid monsters, and lots of lore. Plus, you'd sound smart in front of your pastor when you talk about all the spiritual topics involved. This book was written by the creator of Sunday School Answers, which means it will have some bizarre humor. Fans are saying that if you like C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy or Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, that you will have no trouble eating up this story. The Boy and His Curse is $2.99. That's it. On Amazon Kindle. Or it's free if you have a Kindle Unlimited account. The Boy and His Curse will be your next great addiction.
Bum, bum, bum.
And in place of our normal Here's the News segment, it's Thursday, and we're going to play a game of Onion, Not Onion.
Yes, it's my favorite day.
Now, I've got a couple sets of headlines, and in each one of these sets, I'm going to give you two headlines. One of them is real, a real news story, and one of them is an onion headline. Mm-hmm. Mo is unawares of which is which. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let her guess, and you can guess along at home, too, which one of these you think is real. Are
what
you ready?
Is real? I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, here's the first headline. Diamondbacks settle long-standing civil suit with offspring of bird hit by Randy Johnson's fastball.
Okay.
Or, eyes red after a swim in the pool? The CDC says it's from the pee, not the chlorine.
I'm going with the chlorine.
Yep. Chlorine has long had a bad rap for irritating the eyes of swimmers, especially in crowded public pools. As it turns out, however, it's not the chemical itself turning your eyes red after a swim. It's everything else in the water that the chlorine goes in to kill, specifically human urine. The U.S. Center for Disease Control, CDC, recently teamed up with both the Water Quality and Health Council and the National Swimming Pool Foundation to warn the public about the health risks associated with summer. Smell that chlorine, reads a fact sheet released by the coalition last month. It's not what you think. What you smell are actually chemicals that form when chlorine mixes with pee, poop, sweat, and dirt from swimmers' bodies. These chemicals, not chlorine, can cause your eyes to get red and sting, make your nose run, and make you cough. A companion report published by the National Swimming Pool Foundation, an American nonprofit dedicated to aquatic health and safety, elaborates on what it is about urine that leads to red eyes. It says chlorine and other disinfectants are added to a swimming pool to destroy germs. Peeing in a pool depletes chlorine and actually produces an irritant that makes people's eyes turn red. To eliminate the irritants caused by the nitrogen-containing compounds found in urine, more chlorine may be needed to be added to the pool, she said. Red eyes are one of several color-related topics tackled by the nationwide campaign. Another relates to what the Swimming Pool Foundation calls the most common pool myth of all time, one that nearly half of all Americans surveyed by researchers believed was a thing. Parents have long used the story of a chemical that changes color in the presence of pee to keep their children from peeing in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
This was even in, what was it, Grown Ups?
Was it Adam Sandler's Grown Ups where they were all standing in a pool?
Yeah.
Covered like by blue water.
Yep.
Blue foam in the water.
Yep.
Foundation CEO Thomas M. Lakai made the truth clear, saying, "There isn't a dye that turns red. It's the eyes that turn red. Swimmers' eyes are the real color indicator that someone might have peed in the pool."
Nice.
Oh, I don't ever want to go swimming again in a public pool.
Just wear goggles.
Yeah, goggles. That'll work. Googles.
Googles. Okay.
All right. So you got one. Here's the other one. First headline, college lacrosse. And here's the second headline. No. First headline, college lacrosse player benched due to giant head. Or new sympathetic alarm clock just lets you sleep.
I'm going with the giant head.
Alex Chu has a big problem he just can't seem to wrap his head around. "There are reasons to be on the sideline. I just happen to have a big head," Chu said. "He's a big part of our program. He was a heavily recruited freshman and one of our four goalies," Wheaton lacrosse coach Kyle Hart said. "In high school, they split two helmets apart to create one extra large one and got a waiver from the MIAA. In college, helmets need to be compliant with the National Operating Committee on Standards for Athletic Equipment, and the three main lacrosse helmet makers don't have one that fits Chu. The large helmet on the shelves fit a 24-inch circumference head, which works for most players, but Chu's head measures more than 25 inches. It's now a mere inch that blocks him from tending the goal at Wheaton College." Chu said, "Lacrosse is kind of everything to me. I just want to play." The Wheaton lacrosse team uses warrior helmets. Chu and his coach say the company is sending a new style helmet the company just unveiled, and they hope it will fit and perhaps even get it in time for the first game of the season on Wednesday. Poor guy, I know the feeling.
Yep.
I can't buy a normal hat. Like, you go and buy a hat with a snapback or whatever. If it's going to stay on my head at all, it's got to be on the very last notch, where it won't even stay straight because it's on the last notch, so mm-hmm. it like flimses up and down.
Yep.
But even then, it doesn't stay snug on my head. It's just kind of resting on top of my head. The only hats I've ever found that fit is the FlexFit XL or LXL, like stretchy hat, fitted hat.
Uh-huh.
But even then, it's really tight on my head for until I like I have to wear it for like a year. For it to feel like it's loosened up enough to where it doesn't cut off the circulation. And I don't even have hair. I don't even have a hair buffer adding That's to the true. Padding or nothing.
That's just your head.
Yeah. It's just straight head, straight bone. So I feel it, man. I feel the pain. And both my kids, especially Eli, he's got a big head too.
Big old dumbs.
He's going to have the problem as well.
But they also have big headfuls of hair.
True.
They have your head.
Well, I had a lot of hair when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I had plenty of hair. I just used up all my good hair when I was a kid. And then it went away. Started leaving me when I was 16.
You took that as like a personal attack against you.
I did.
Like, how dare you? I had plenty of hair.
I had so much hair, Mo. More hair than you've ever seen on a child. I had it. I was Chewbacca.
Okay. Okay, Matt. Sorry.
Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to the Back Row Rewind. We got a classic episode of the Back Row Morning Show playing for you all morning long here. And coming up in the next segment, Matt and Mo are going to go head to head in a brand new game called Bible Quiz. Stick around.
You're listening to the Back Row Rewind, the best of Matt and Mo.
This week in Nerd History, Geraldo strikes out.
Nerd History.
Al Capone was a notable criminal figure and gangster in Chicago, running gambling, alcohol, and prostitution rackets in the early 1900s. After orchestrating an assassination attempt on former head Johnny Torrio, Capone took control of the Chicago outfit Organized Crime Syndicate and was placed on the FBI's most wanted list. He was sentenced to prison over income tax evasion in 1931 and died in his home in 1947. Capone had previously housed his headquarters at the nearby Metropole Hotel in Chicago, but in July 1928 moved to a suite in the Lexington Hotel, also in Chicago. Capone ran his various enterprises from this hotel until his arrest in 1931. A construction company in the 1980s planned a renovation of the Lexington Hotel, and while surveying the building, discovered a shooting range and a series of secret tunnels, including one hidden behind Capone's medicine cabinet. These tunnels connected taverns and brothels to provide an elaborate potential escape route in case of police raid. These discoveries led to further investigation of this hotel, notably by researcher Harold Rubin. Rumors said Capone had kept a very secret vault beneath the hotel to hold some of his wealth. On April 21st, 1986, Geraldo Rivera hosted a special live two-hour event called The Mystery of Al Capone's Vaults, which had been greatly hyped as potentially revealing great riches or dead bodies on live television. This included the presence of a medical examiner, should bodies be found, and agents from the IRS to collect any of Capone's money that might be discovered. When the vault was finally opened, the only thing found inside were dirt and several empty bottles, including one Rivera claimed was for moonshine bathtub gin. After several attempts to dig further into the vault, Geraldo admitted defeat and voiced his disappointment to the viewers, apologizing as he thanked the excavation team for their efforts. Although it gathered criticism and became infamous for its disappointing ending, the program was the most watched syndicated television special that year, with an estimated audience of 30 million people. With this event, Rivera had inadvertently launched a no-news form of news, where instead of reporting on news, entire programs were devoted to possible and hypothetical news. Included in this style of news broadcasting is news channels counting down and hyping up upcoming news events, like a presidential briefing, discussing what might be news in the future. That's right, the mind-numbing 24-hour news cycle essentially started when Geraldo Rivera struck out in Al Capone's vault.
There was nothing in Al Capone's vault, but it wasn't Geraldo's vault.
Go! I'm Radio Matt. See you next time for more Nerd History.
Listening to the Back Row Rewind, the best of Matt and Mo.
Welcome back to the Back Row Rewind. We've got a classic episode of the Back Row Morning Show for you here today. We're going to be talking about, are you oversaved? But that's coming up a little later this morning. In this segment, Matt and Mo are going head-to-head in a brand new game. Let's see who comes out on top. Welcome back to the second hour on your Thursday morning. Glad to have you with us here on Back Row Radio and the Back Row Morning Show with Matt and Mo.
I figured out why Wednesday is our best morning.
Why is that?
Because we, like, I can say Wiki Wiki Wednesday and Hump Day, and there's nothing to say for, so Monday is good.
I know. Thursday.
Monday. But that's really the only thing that you can say with Monday. We tried Tuesday and realized I don't like the way any... No. Don't like it. And then you cannot do anything for Thursday.
Thursday, y'all.
I know, that's the thing. Thursday. It just sounds like you have a stutter.
Thursday. I want five random facts, and I want them now.
Fine. Jeez. In 2009, a teenager impersonating a cop went to the Chicago Police Department, worked a full shift, drove a squad car, and arrested someone. Love it. People eating popcorn remember commercials less. Okay. Don't know what the correlation is there, but all right. Americans spend more than a year of their life flipping channels. I can... Yep.
It's been two for me so far. Yeah,
for real. One in every five adults believe that aliens are hiding in our planet disguised as humans.
They're lizard people.
Those are the same people who think Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. If you sneeze too hard, you can fracture a rib. If you try to suppress a sneeze, you can rupture a blood vessel in your head or neck and die. If you keep your eyes open by force, they can pop out.
I have seen a guy who did that.
Yeah?
Who kept his eyes open.
Shut up!
And they didn't, like, pop out like they're hanging down. They're just out.
Like one of those squeeze toys?
Yes. Yes. Like, his eyes are partially out of his sockets, and they're going to stay that way.
That's disgusting.
It's hard to look at the dude. I mean, he's just trying to live his life, and I'm not trying to make fun of him. But, gosh, it's disconcerting. It's unnerving to see. Because he just looks surprised all the time. Or he looks, not surprised, but, just when you're wide-eyed.
Very much aware.
Yeah. You're just terrified. That's what he looks like. He looks terrified all the time. Because his eyes are just wide circles.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
All right. Hey, you know what? It's time for game time.
Game time.
We tried a true or false game last week that was translated poorly from, I believe, Spanish. Español, I think so.
It was bad.
It was hard. So I don't know if... I haven't played this other one, so I don't know how well it is. But we're going to play a game called Bible Quiz. Now, what I do know is that you're able to pick a category, and it's going to give you 10... questions based on that category from the Bible. So I thought what we would do is I will pick the topic that you'll answer questions on and vice versa.
Okay.
That sound good?
Sure.
All right. So I want to ask you questions about... and there's so many. I'm going to ask you questions about money.
Oh, Lord.
All right. So, 10 questions about money. Let's see who can get the most right.
That was my quick prayer, by the way.
Oh, Lord, please help me. this is not for the title. Mo needs to beat me in one of these games first before she can challenge for the title. Just making that clear. So all right. Now, these are multiple choice, so that does make it a little easier. First question, what was the value of 2 sparrows in Jesus' day? 1 farthing, 1 mite, 1 bag of rice, or 1 piece of silver?
Stop it! 1 piece of silver.
Try again.
Oh, I hate it already.
The correct answer was 1 farthing.
1 farthing. What the crap is a farthing?
All right. A man whose 10,000 talent debt was written off failed to forgive a debt of 50 talents, 200 talents, 500 talents, or 100 pence.
We just had a sermon on this a couple weeks ago. Give me the multiple choice again and stop singing. I can't think.
50 talents, 200 talents, 500 talents, or 100 pence.
Try
again.
The correct answer was 100 pence.
Okay.
No talents at all.
Okay.
How much was Judas Iscariot paid to betray Jesus?
I'm so over this
game. This one you should get. This one is easy. 1 talent of gold, 100 pence, 30 pieces of silver, or 20 pieces of silver?
I'm glad you say it like I should get it.
You should.
No.
This is
I don't know it.
Everybody knows about the story. You don't know this?
I don't know it. I really don't. 30.
30 pieces of silver?
Yep.
You're good.
Okay.
Ah, I knew you knew it.
I knew it
somewhere. You didn't know you knew it, yeah. But you knew it.
I knew it somewhere, apparently.
All right, number four. The love of money is the root of what? All wealth, all evil, goodness, or happiness?
Evil.
You're good.
Oh, I haven't been taking record here.
I'm 2-2.
Yes, you are. Five. Who did Jesus send fishing to get money for taxes? Remember, they found a coin in the mouth of the fish that they pulled up. Was it John, Peter, Matthew, or James?
I think it was Peter.
You're good.
Good job. 3-5. Number 6. Who offered Delilah silver to find out the secret of Samson's strength? The Lord of the Philistines? Lords of the Philistines, the lords of the Israelites, the scribes, or the chief priests?
I need to read my Bible more. The scribes?
Try again.
The chief priest.
No, it was the lords of the Philistines. Then it took a donkey jawbone and busted a few heads. Number 7. The price of 5 sparrows, according to Luke, was 2 pieces of silver, 5 pence, 2 mites, or 2 farthings.
Is it stupid of me to go with farthings again? I'm going with farthings.
You're good. Okay.
See, smart. You used your knowledge from the previous one. All right, number 8. For how much was Joseph sold to the Ishmaelites?
Oh, gosh.
40 pieces of silver? 20 pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver? Or 10 pieces of silver?
Oh, Lord. Oh, good Lord. 20.
Try again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong one. But yes, it was 20.
Oh, okay.
My fat fingers hit the wrong answer. Yes, 20 pieces of silver.
Are you just saying that to make me feel better about myself? Because no, I'm really feeling bad.
20 pieces of silver. Number 9. As Jesus watched, how much money did the poor widow throw into the treasury? 2 pence, 2 farthings, 2 mites, or 7 mites?
I'm going with 2 mites.
You're good.
Wow, I would have gotten that one wrong. Good job. All right, last one. You're doing actually really well. Oops, I didn't give you that one. There you go. You've gotten 6 out of 9. That's really good so far. Okay. All right, last one. What prophet's sons were greedy and took bribes? What prophet's sons were greedy and took bribes? Moses, Elisha, Nathan, or Samuel?
Elijah?
This is Elisha with Elisha. The SH. Yeah. Is that who you want to go
with? Yeah, I'll go with it anyway.
Try again.
Dang it, my fat fingers. But it wasn't Elisha.
Oh, okay.
It was Samuel. All right, okay. So you got 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Okay. To pick your category, all right, so I'll take you to there. So you pick your category, you can scroll up, okay. And there's more. And then it should take you to the first, or give you the option of clicking on the first question.
There are a lot. Quite a lot. We're going with trees, Matthew.
Trees? What the heck? All right.
Trees. Hold on. There's an advertisement.
Advertisement.
And you can't click the X. Because it's on the corner. Matt. Give me the phone. Your stupid phone. See?
Wow. All right, I got it. Okay. Okay.
We're
it
doing
says
10?
12 questions, so yeah, just do the first 10.
Okay. God commanded Adam not to eat from one of the trees in the garden. Which tree was that? Great. The tree of life, the apple tree, the sycamore tree, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Tree of knowledge of good and evil.
You're good.
Yeah, I am. Good.
Who was the man who told a baker who was in prison with him, within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee? Joseph, Josiah, Josephus, or Jeroboam? Jeroboam.
Jeroboam. It was Joseph.
You're good.
Not okay with this already. God sent hail throughout a whole land that smote both man and beast, and every herb of the field, and broke every tree. What was the land? Ethiopia, Egypt, Euphrates, or Edom? Edom?
Oh, man. Edom?
Edom?
Try again.
Egypt?
Uh-huh.
Dang it. Egypt was my first thought, and I didn't go with it. Man.
That's for you. God told the Israelites, when thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, or all of the above.
All of the above.
You're good.
I feel like when the answer is...
Ryan, when none of the other questions have an all of the above, and then one randomly appears,
yeah,
I feel like that leans in your favor.
Who was the woman judge of Israel who dwelt under a palm tree in Mount Ephraim? Dolores, Deborah, Delilah, or Dinah?
I honestly don't know this one.
Really?
You're looking at me like I should know this one. Deborah?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first book of Samuel ends with the burial of bones of one of the kings of Israel and his sons under a tree at Jabesh. Who was this king? Saul, David, Solomon, or
Rehoboam?
Yeah.
Rehoboam?
Try again.
Saul.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no idea. Who was the prophet who sat under a juniper tree and asked the Lord to take away his life? Why do they have such hard names? Eleazar, Elijah, or Esaias?
Oh, man. I have no idea. I'm going to say Elisha.
With an S-H?
Yeah.
Try again.
It was Elijah.
Dang it.
Of whom does the psalmist say, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Those who don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, those who don't associate with sinners and mockers, those who delight in God's law and meditate on it, those who do all of the above.
I don't think it's all of the above, but the presence of it makes me want to guess that. So, all of the above.
You're good.
Woo!
Well then. Daniel interpreted a dream for King Nebuchadnezzar in which the king had seen a tree. What was the tree in the dream? What was the tree in the dream? So what did it symbolize? The kingdom of Babylon, the king himself, the treasury of Babylon, or the knowledge of the wise men of Babylon?
Read the question for me one more time.
Okay. Daniel interpreted a dream for King Nebuchadnezzar in which the king had seen a tree. What was the tree in the dream?
Read the things.
The kingdom of Babylon, the king himself, the treasury of Babylon, or the knowledge of the wise men of Babylon?
Oh, man. the first one?
The Kingdom of Babylon?
Yeah.
Try again.
Dang it.
It's the king himself.
Oh, it was the king? Okay. I didn't think that.
All right, last one.
I either tie or I lose here.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And then he explained the parable. What was he talking about? The fruit crops of Israel at the time, the wood that was used to build the temple, the fruit that people produce in their lives, or the rebuilding of the nation of Israel as a food source for the world.
The fruit that people produce in their lives.
You're good.
Woo! Ooh, 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 ooh. I mean, yeah, I didn't win. Should we do a tiebreaker?
How are we going to do a tiebreaker?
Three questions from something else?
Okay. Here, am I going first? You go first. I'll ask you a question. I was trying to go back, but it didn't work. It just went back to the last question I asked you.
Well, how about we do sudden death? Okay. So we'll ask questions back and forth, and first one to lose or get one wrong.
Okay.
Loses.
Close your eyes and randomly pick the category.
Randomly pick the category?
Yep.
Well, no, we can't do that because I think the questions don't change, and I want to preserve the different categories, you know?
Okay,
so let's just pick one category.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh!
You close your eyes so
oh,
that...
Oh, I got you. And we'll just keep going in that one.
In that one.
My bad. Warning! Warning! Oh my gosh, this is such a long question. All right. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." ... And here are your options. What happens next? Turn such over to the Inquisitor. From such turn away. Pray earnestly for these that God may spare them. But God, who is rich in mercy, is not willing that they should perish. This is a ridiculously difficult question.
May I look at it? I need to read it for myself real quick.
It's such a long read.
Okay.
Oh, Lordy. Oh. Howdy. I don't know the words.
Okay.
Of this. Oh.
The third one.
The third one?
Pray earnestly
for these that God may spare them.
Try again.
Oh!
Oh, no. Okay, well, technically, though, I should still have to get one right,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So,
what was it?
It was from such as these turn away. From such turn away. Let's do the next one for me.
All right.
If I get it right.
The prophet Jehu went to see King Jehoshaphat and explained to him why the wrath of the Lord was upon him. Why was that? He helped the ungodly. He loved people that hated the Lord. Both of the above. Or God was so pleased with the king's conduct that he had given Satan power to strike him for a season.
Both of the above.
You're good.
That wasn't very fair.
That was dumb.
I win, y'all. Oh, man.
Stupid.
You're never going to get this belt back.
Nope, never.
All right, we got one more segment of Back Row Rewind coming up for you in just a momentito, so don't go anywhere. Coming up next, it's the main event. Are you oversaved? Stick around.
You're listening to the Back Row Rewind, the best of Matt and Mo.
Grace. We all know it.
And no, I don't mean the little old lady on the second row with the endless stash of Werther's ready to unwrap at the worst time, or the pretty girl in your kindergarten class you've secretly had a crush on. Shout out to the Skit guys there. I'm referencing the gift we all accept when we surrender our lives to God. Forgiveness, not earned or deserved, but given completely, fully, and freely, without doubt or regret from the giver. Grace, the gift none of us feel deserving of, but all of us learn to accept one step at a time through our journey as believers. And yet, grace, possibly the hardest thing we ever have to learn to show towards others. I once joked that grace was the one thing we all expect to be on the receiving end of, while simultaneously being the one thing we all seem to find justified in withholding from others. Our human nature wants us to lean on the side of karma. We find some level of satisfaction in knowing those who do us wrong will one day have wrong done to them, or that all of our good deeds and actions will eventually come back to us in good as well. As believers, however, we know that is in direct opposition of grace. Karma and grace are not siblings of the same vein. They're more like step cousins who share no commonality and yet like to mask themselves as one and the same. If we're truly walking in faith and being the hands and feet of Jesus to those around us, then finding validation in the pain or failure of someone else should be the last thing on our minds. When we're consciously living out the calling on our lives to go and make disciples and to love others as Christ has loved us, then giving the benefit of the doubt, offering forgiveness even before an apology, and choosing to be peacemakers as often as possible should consistently be our goal. Remembering always that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, which we're told in Romans chapter 3, but to each one, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, which is Ephesians 2:8. So let us live as Christ has, offering grace even to those who have fallen short of our standards, while acknowledging our standards fall measurably short in terms of the Almighty.
You're listening to the Back Row Rewind, the best of Matt and Mo.
Welcome back to the Back Row Rewind, and it is the main event we're going to be talking about. Are you oversaved? Don't know what that term means? Well, you're about to learn, and you might find out that it's you. Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show here on Back Row Radio. It is Thursday. We're entering into our third hour. And quick question. Are your friends bragging about Game of Thrones and making you feel like an outsider? Wouldn't it be great if you had an amazing story that you could be hooked to and make them feel bad about? Well, look no further than Michael P. Mordanga's epic fantasy, The Boy and His Curse. Follow Ethan Miyoko as he tries to get his driver's license, but instead gets eternal bad luck. This horrible curse tries to kill him every day. Instead of dying, Ethan chooses to go to a mystical world of fairies and trolls, Feria. Now, before you write this story off as some happy-go-lucky cookie-cutter fantasy novel, let me tell you that Ethan gets into some bizarre stuff. Awkward relationships will be had. Hilarious problems will be faced. Half-squid, half-hawk monsters will try to eat him. And let's not forget, it ends in a glorious battle with so much swords, arrows, and fire that you'll be satisfied for weeks. Fans are saying that if you like C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy or J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, that you will have no trouble eating up this story. The Boy and His Curse is $2.99. That's it. That's the cost of a comic book on Amazon Kindle. Or it's free if you have a Kindle Unlimited account. The Boy and His Curse will be your next great addiction. Pick it up today. So, Mo and I this week have been talking about the topic of people being oversaved. She even called out, not by name, some folks on our BRB Church, Back Row Baptist Church Facebook group.
Y'all know who you are.
BRBChurch.com.
And if you don't, you're about
to. You're oversaved. Well, just so happens that she messaged me the other day saying, I'm going to need you to make a post about people being oversaved. And I said, I got a whole list, everybody. So we're going to go through this list of you might be oversaved
if
this applies to you. And we're going to read it like it's an argument between you and me. So we're going for who's the most oversaved here.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
You win.
Who does the first one? Do I do the first one? Okay. I highlighted the whole Bible because every word of God is important.
I don't even leave my bed on the Sabbath. I rest so hard.
I swear myself in on the Bible before every conversation.
I even write in tongues.
I always leave room for Jesus on dates.
I have my phone call everyone on church during the service so they are outed as sinners when they ring. They're outed as the sinners they are if they ring.
There we go.
Sorry.
I just can't bring myself to eat a tomato or a cucumber.
Oh my gosh. I re-pray over my meals if someone else blesses it, just in case they lusted that morning or something.
That's one of my favorites. I only eat stale unleavened crackers and I only drink wine, but not too much.
I don't even gamble for bragging rights.
My car is so covered with Christian bumper stickers, you can't tell what color it is.
I still use a paper Bible in church, so no one thinks I'm texting.
I even side hug my mom. Got her with that one.
I only say something is screwed if it involves a literal screw.
I fast so hard, I call it a fastest.
I've got memberships at 10 different churches to boost their numbers, and I tithe at every one. That's right.
If I eat something without praying over it first, I force myself to throw it back up.
My angel food cakes are made out of real angels.
If there is nothing happening in church that day, I weep uncontrollably for hours.
I don't even say darn. Oh, darn. I said it.
I don't even look at food porn.
Oh my God. My pastor calls me for help tying his sermon together.
You can't even read. You're definitely not typing nothing.
Shut up.
I read every single Bible verse posted on my Facebook and Twitter feeds.
I don't eat anything that can be deviled, but not angeled.
The only global warming you need is the holy fire of the Spirit spreading his word across the globe, child. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
My stars. Oh, my word.
So, serious question. At what point in your life do you feel like you get a little oversaved sometimes? Because we all get that way, right? We all get a little haughty.
Not me.
A little holier than thou. From time to time. Never.
Okay, so mine are like super small and trivial.
I would assume most are.
Okay, so the one thing that kind of irks me is when kids wear hats in the sanctuary. And I'm like, oh, I would never let my kids
wear hats in the
sanctuary.
We did, I think you were here. We did a Rock the Block big CR event thing, or Rocky Recovery thing.
Yeah.
Where Joey Porter was the band leader for it. He's the front man for Constant Halo on our radio station. But he wore a hat to it because it was more of an informal thing. It was a party. It wasn't like a worship service, but it was held in the sanctuary of the church that day because I think we were going to do it outside, but it got rained out. And I was uncomfortable the whole time. I never said anything. And I'm like, oh, this feels wrong. And the fact that he was wearing it backwards just felt worse.
Yeah.
I'm like, at least turn it forward. At least it's a respectful kind of way to wear a hat.
Yeah.
This is just, I felt like an old man in the 90s.
That
hooligan wearing his backwards hat.
What's funny is adults wearing a baseball cap or a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me as much.
Cowboy hats don't bother me. I don't know why.
Yeah. But when I see, I don't like them either. But when I see a kid wearing a hat during service, I'm like, take the hat off.
Terrible child.
I know. I don't understand what it is.
Little hellion wearing his hat.
That's really the only thing that I can think of, though.
Yeah. Like, you know, I get overly irritated when people misuse a Bible verse or whatever, like the judge not verse.
Yeah.
When it's used way out of context and I want to just go all keyboard warrior on people. And I've had to stop myself from doing this, and it's still incredibly hard. It's been nearly a decade since I've allowed myself to get into like real serious arguments, like just flat out foaming at the mouth, angry.
Yeah.
I am right, you are wrong arguments.
Yeah.
At least religiously. I got into an argument with one of our followers about who would win in a fight, Batman or Superman, the other day. But and I got a little foaming at the mouth. But, you know, I have to keep myself from doing that. But that's obviously when I'm feeling like I'm right, you're wrong. I'm holier than you because you're using this wrong.
Yeah.
But, of course, I know there's got to be times out there when I use a scripture incorrectly and people are doing the exact same thing, thinking in their head. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure we all have a little bit of that in us. Then there are some people out there that just don't care.
See, so I've got one for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, and actually it's one for me, but.
Okay, I thought you were going to call me out on something.
No, it's going to be like
I know how you're terrible.
It's going to be like a mic drop, but I'm bashing myself.
Don't drop the mic. It's $50.
I won't drop the mic. So I get all hot and angry over like some of the things that are posted on our BRB church, okay? Mm-hmm. About how you shouldn't sing a certain song, or you shouldn't read a certain devotion, or you shouldn't follow a certain pastor or preacher or whatever, okay? And then I see it, and I'm like, okay, but what about showing God's grace? What about reaching out to the people who may not quite be where you are? And how many people are you putting up a wall between you and yourself and them because you're so oversaved? But really, I'm kind of being a little bit oversaved because I'm saying that I'm better than them because I'm reaching the lost better than they are.
Or at least you think you are.
I mean, it's true. And it was a truth bomb on myself, so.
Mic drop.
What?
Pick it back up, dust it off.
I mean, truthfully, because that's always my argument. How many people are you reaching with an attitude like that? Okay, so I'm saying I'm better than them.
She says with so much attitude in her voice.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. Now, I think, you know, of course, I think I'm that way too with some things. Like, oh gosh, if I have to sit through another Calvinist versus Arminian debate, I'm going to blow my brains out. I am so sick of this debate. Neither one of you are 100% correct.
Yeah.
Just shut up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In everything, I don't understand why Calvinists argue at all. Like, if you believe that everything's predestined, then everything that happens is fine. Just shut up. You don't need to say anything.
Yeah.
People are going to believe or they're not going to believe. You can't convince them because they're predestined to believe one way or another, right?
Yeah. If any belief was going to take the high road, it should be those who believe in Calvinism because they should just look at it as, okay, this is God's destiny. I'll just let it be.
Oh, gosh. It's okay for us to not know every single answers. Thing of how this works. It's okay. If you're saved, you're saved. However it happened, it happened.
That's part of the faith aspect of it.
Let's just leave that up to God's grace.
Yeah.
And chill out. I'm feeling oversaved now. My way's better.
I mean, truthfully.
But you agree.
I had an aha moment right here on the morning show, and I will try to be a little bit better. A little more. A little less offended. A little more understanding.
See, I think that's how this morning show works for us. I think both of us, throughout the week, go on our own ways and get our own offenses and get our own issues brought
up.
This
is our church.
And we, you and I get together, usually from two different sides. Not usually of the same thing, but just coming from two different areas of where we're at. And we each teach each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Humble each other a little bit.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah. Leave a little better.
Hey, we're doing it right, Matt.
Yeah.
We're
high
five.
Boop. Too far. Yep. Table's too far. We don't sit next to each other because I smell usually.
Eh.
I don't shower before we get here.
Neither do I. So.
All right, let's move on to our Ask Us Anything.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I don't know what we proved with what we just did, but it was fun to talk about.
It was fun to talk about.
Don't take yourself so seriously.
I had an aha moment. So.
Yeah, you did. It was good.
It was for me. This whole stinking week has been about me. Okay, our awa for the day is, what's the grossest thing you stumbled upon?
This is hard because I feel like there are a lot of things. I know that I've stumbled across someone having peed in a soap dispenser. I've stumbled across, this is all because of the janitor stuff, stumbled across someone pooping on the toilet, not in the toilet.
Oh my gosh, Matt.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a lot of those kind of things. I mean, this was clearly a kid, the pooping one. This was clearly a kid that sat too far back.
Hopefully the peeing in the soap dispenser was clearly a kid as well. I cannot imagine an adult thinking, you know what?
You know what would be a funny trick?
Peeing in the soap
dispenser.
Mixing
the rest of this soap with my urine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All the grossest things I've stumbled upon have been because of janitor duty.
You know what I think I would have done? I would have gone and bought exactly the same soap dispenser. Because it's the hand pump, correct? Like, they didn't take the dispenser off the walls.
No, hand pump.
I would have gone and bought exactly the same one, filled it with a little bit of that yellow dishwasher liquid, dish soap. Yep. And just left it there. Because you know that it's soap, so what's the big deal? But how many times would he have, I'm assuming it's a he.
How dare you?
Would have walked in and been like, he still has not done this. He still has not. And eventually, you would have figured out who the culprit was. Because eventually, they would have been so disgusted that you haven't done anything, they would have said something. And you could have been like, how did you know it was pee? See?
Doesn't that soap look a little urine-y to you? Why would you say that?
Mm-hmm. That's just the kind of person
how
I am.
How dare you? Assume it was a gentleman.
Okay, listen,
I am offended on behalf of my gender.
If it was a lady, props to her.
They got funnels.
We don't carry them around with us.
You do if you're trying to play a hilarious practical joke where you pee in a soap dispenser.
Whatever.
Who knows how long they've been planning it.
Was it in the men's bathroom or the women's?
Mm-hmm. It was in the women's.
Was it really?
I don't remember. The poop was in the women's, though.
Well, I believe that one. Because that's typically where the kids go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was obviously a kid. But they must have been sick or something because they also messed their pants and they just left them there on the floor.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know what they wore out.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you not know which kid this was? Because obviously they were running around half naked.
My only explanation, and it's a sad one, is that their mom must have also been there, had another pair of pants, and also chose to leave this mess and the pants behind and not tell anybody. Because I found it 2 days later on Tuesday night when I came to do my stuff.
Nice.
To clean.
Yeah.
So I just sat there. And that's, and what was worse is that it was such a nice Tuesday. Everything, most everything was relatively clean. I just had to do a little bit of spot cleaning, take out a little bit of garbage. And that was the last thing, the bathroom, the very last bathroom in the back hallway that I had to check. And suddenly I'm there for another hour and a half with caked on disgust to take care of.
Yep.
So yeah, that is my answer.
Nice.
What about you? Or did you already answer?
No, I didn't answer.
What's the grossest thing you stumbled upon?
I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm a mom of three. You'd think
right?
that I would...
Haven't walked in on anything gross before?
No. I'm getting to that age to where I knock. and then I give a couple minutes.
I'm terrified of those years.
Yeah.
I don't want them to come.
Yeah. I'm
gross puberty years.
Mm-hmm. Blech. Yeah. And then even after I knock and give a couple minutes and open the door, they still jump. And I'm like, just don't jump. Just don't jump. Because that makes my mind do all kinds of things that I don't like.
It makes me think things are happening that probably aren't. Or I just hope they're not.
Yep.
Just don't jump.
Just don't jump. Just continue sitting.
You seem to knock. I am coming in. Be prepared. Do not be afraid. Counting down from 10.
That's probably what I should start doing.
Oh, man.
I really don't know.
You don't have an answer?
I really don't. So I will say this. We had a date day where we went to Lubbock, okay? And we went with Sippy and Samantha, and their daughter, Adiana, babysat Mila. Well, this is when Mila was kind of still sick, but we had taken her to the doctor. She didn't have anything, but she was coughing up all this mucus and phlegm, okay? And in our house, you just get an empty water bottle and spit your mucus and phlegm into it. Right?
I do that. Deidre hates it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's redundant to go spit it in the sink or spit it in the toilet or whatever. So when you're that sick, you just keep a water bottle with you. Okay. Yeah. Well, a couple days later, we go to have dinner with Sippy and Samantha, and Samantha goes, oh, Mila, I need to talk to you. Guess what I found? And Mila's like, you know, big eyes, like, what? What did you find? I found a water bottle, and guess what was in there? And I immediately start laughing because I already knew what was in there, you know? Why are you spitting your mucus? She actually called it babas, which is Spanish for your saliva, your spit. Why are you spitting your mucus into a water bottle? And Mila's like, that's what we're supposed to do. So... I didn't find it, but that's the only story that I can think of that's sort of about me.
Yeah, I did that, like, for the first time. Like, it never even occurred to me to do that.
Yeah.
Until, I think it was last year. And so I did that, and by the end of the day, it was like, you know, good.
Yeah.
2 inches worth down on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And Deidre found that, and she goes, what if one of the kids opened that up and tried to drink it?
Well, I'm like, that was dumb.
That's not gonna happen. They're going to learn their lesson is what they're going to do.
Right?
You're going to drink that stuff.
They'll only do it once.
Pretty gross, though.
Nasty, but...
Got your Bible verse thought for the day. Bible verse for the day is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
And our thought for the day comes from Greg Laurie. Your arms are too short to box with God.
Ooh. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you to our sponsor, A Boy and His Curse by Michael P. Mordanga. Available on Amazon now. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
And that's going to do it for our Back Row Rewind for this morning. We hope you enjoyed this flash to the past. We'll be back with another one next Thursday. And, of course, Matt and Mo will be back next Monday with brand new episodes of the Back Row Morning Show here on LTN Radio. Tomorrow morning, a brand new Church Nerd, so stick around for that. And, you know, if nobody else tells you, we promise that it's true. Jesus loves you, nerd.
Thank you for joining us for Back Row Rewind, the best of Matt and Mo. For more of Matt and Mo's antics, tune in every Monday through Wednesday for the Back Row Morning Show at 8 a.m. and again at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, only on LTN Radio.